Spirit Radio Podcasts.
And joined with me now on the line for this week's Home and Lifestyle Tips is Therese Davey. How are you, Therese?
Good morning, Wendy, and I'm combining everything this morning, the job of the week, the website of the week. Yeah, about switching.
It's all about putting it all into one lovely neat bundle. So switching what? What are we switching?
I'm saying look at everything. We're a very bad country for switching, seemingly, compared to other countries, but recently I had to open a new office and I got interested in all these energy and offers and various utilities, and I decided to go for it. But the first person you go to, the first website you go to is www.cru.ie, the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities, and it gives advice on how to switch. And it lists the three comparison websites, which is interesting. Rather than going to all the utility providers, you can go to website, comparison websites, and even they vary. And I found the deals vary per week. So you need to look at all three switching websites and choose. A couple of things you need. Have you tried this, Wendy? Have you started switching yet?
Oh, I am Mrs. Switch. For any utility or any bill that we pay, whether it's car insurance, electricity, any of these things, I put a little note in my calendar, and when it's time to, when the contract is up, I always shop around and I always save money.
You can save money. Even last week we saved €36 on swapping the bins. My sister saved over €300 on swapping the health insurance. But let's start with the energy ones. They're the ones that everyone has. They're the most common ones. And there's a couple of things you need. You need to get ready for this, and you need to give yourself some time. You need to get your bills for the past year and do an estimate. You need to find the MPRN number on your bill. That's the meter point reference number. And have that, because the suppliers are going to look for that. And off you go. You start your comparison then. Some people, but you need to also be very careful. There could be early exit fee charges. Have you heard of those, Wendy?
Yeah, so you basically get penalised if you break your contract, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. €50 to €100, that can vary from. So you have got the best idea there, getting it into the calendar, getting the date ready for when your contract is up, and being ready to move when the time is going to incur the least expenses. Mobile phones. This is a good one to take time on, because if you're a busy phone user, maybe it's time to consider SIM card only options. Because if you're a bill payer and you haven't actually changed since you got your last new phone, you could be paying 2 to 3 times as much as you should be. That's some amount of money, Wendy, isn't it? 2 to 3 times as much.
Yeah, and there's obviously various different options if you're bundling thing up, but that's something that we did years ago, is just went with the SIM only, and there's lots of different kind of 30-day rolling contracts. But my advice there would be is, so we worked out, well, what were we paying to basically hire the new phone? And you're paying a premium on it. To put a little bit aside, it can be a small amount aside each month, so that in 3 or 4 years' time or whenever you need a new phone, at least you have a little kitty to be able to buy the new phone.
And the other thing that's really getting popular out there is buying a refurbished phone. And they come in good nick, they're fully ready to go, and they are much cheaper, and you can get your SIM-only deals. They only start at from €13, and some for as little as 30 days. So you could switch again next month once you find the right one. So that's a good idea to look at that. Health insurance, please consider a broker, and always, always ask for the best plan for your budget, including the corporate plans. All the health insurers are meant to tell you about all their plans. Life insurer, broker again, and I know we mightn't be able to travel soon, but I remember a couple of years ago I got called on the travel insurance because I left a gap of 5 days between my policies and the one time I ever needed to change it, to claim it, I missed out. So life insurance, please make sure you have a plan in place before you change to the other. The bin charges, maybe it's time to start looking at what you're dumping. Maybe opt for a cheaper, lower weight allowance. Check your own suppliers, and this is always useful for all the switching. Please check your own supplier in case they have other options and they might want to keep you and give you a better deal. So I'm saying this Easter, this is the time to start investing the time and pick one thing and off you go.
And I did the bin one myself recently, and I was going back and forth between two providers, and eventually ended up staying with the one I was with when they kept matching, you know, what the competitor was doing. But it saved us, I think, we're looking over the year, but we got 3 months free on the bins and cheaper per month and all that sort of stuff. So it is worth your while. And I suppose, I know people listening, when you're thinking of switching and all that, you think, oh, the effort of it all. But think about it this way. Let's say if 2 or 3 phone calls, whatever it takes you, 30, 40 minutes might save you €150. Now, I don't know about you, huge raise, but if I could make €150 for 30 minutes work, that would be great. And that's essentially what you're doing.
That's actually what you're doing. And if you want to even put a better focus on it, think, what could I spend that €130 on? Do you know, what would I really like to spend that money on instead of giving it to someone who doesn't need it as much as I do?
I think one of the things that cost people a lot of money, but it also is probably one thing, Therese, that people get quite baffled by, because there's so many different policies, it can be quite confusing, as health insurance.
Oh, and it's a nightmare. I read somewhere there were 3,200, I think, different levels, packages of health insurance across the whole country with all the providers. And I said, why would you even try? But a broker, and this is how my sister saved over €360, actually, on a policy. She went to two brokers, and they went out and got the best plan because they were familiar with all the plans and the corporate plans that you're entitled to get. And that's how she saved her money, going to a broker. And there's a website for that. There's a HIA.ie, the insurance website for that, if you need help with that.
Yeah, and that just helps you go through all the plans, break it down, and also think about what you actually need. Sometimes you're paying for something in a health insurance policy that you don't actually need. And so to make sure you kind of go through everything on the list, but it is worth the time, it's worth the money, as you say. Okay, we're in the final week coming up to Easter. You've got some good advice for us around this time, Therese.
And some people may say, well, I slipped up on some of my Lenten promises, but there's 1 week to go, and there's wonderful, and I mean wonderful, variety of Holy Week reflections out there from congregations and individuals and churches all over the world that will help you get through this last week and maybe pick up on something you may have dropped. And it's a really lovely time to do it. Take some time out, a few minutes in the morning during this week, and look towards God and what's happening this week and Easter approaching. And then it's a time to celebrate when Easter comes. And there's one thing you can do in lockdown over Easter.
What's that?
Cook.
Okay, what are you going to be cooking? Hot cross buns?
No, I'm not going making hot cross buns. Do you like hot cross buns? Do you toast yours, Wendy?
I do like them, but I have to say it's one of those things that for actually making at home from scratch, I think is not worth the effort when they're so cheap in the supermarkets.
And not worth the effort, I would agree. And there's so many varieties you can have out there. But the one thing I will say about hot cross buns is save one, freeze it, and toast it on a rainy day in April as a wee treat for yourself. That's one of the jobs in setting everyone up. Save one emergency hot cross bun, put it in the freezer and use it later in the month on a wet day. But all the supermarkets have lovely options, lovely food options and recipes on their website. And if you just Google Easter recipes, and you'll find just lovely and different things you can do with the children, for yourself. And last year in lockdown, I tried an amazing different way to cook the traditional lamb roast for the two of us. It was lamb with orange and fennel seeds. And it's on the BBC website. Just Google lamb with orange and fennel seeds. And it isn't with a gravy, it's with a kind of a parsley pesto. And it's just so different, and it's lovely. And just try something different this Easter, because it's the one thing we can do in lockdown. And celebration style with some really lovely different food, and celebrate what has happened for us all. And finally, after you've had that lovely lunch and Easter Sunday, get out to your 5K and find some bluebells and primroses, and then you'll really know spring is on the way. There is hope.
Spirit. So many things have been put on hold during the COVID-19 pandemic, but some things, quite simply, cannot be put on hold. One of those things is the need for organ donation and transplantation. This has continued. You know, at any one time in Ireland, there could be between 550 and 600 people waiting for an organ transplant. But there was a fall in the number of transplants in 2020 across the National Transplant Programme. On the line to tell us a little bit about it, because it's Organ Donor Awareness Week, we've Colin White, who's the National Projects Manager at the Irish Kidney Association. Colin, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Wendy.
Okay, so in terms, Colin, just of what types of organ transplants are the most common or the most needed in Ireland, what are the trends?
It's kidney transplants are by far the most common, because the kidney is the one most likely to fail of any of the organs. But equally, when somebody has kidney failure, there's the opportunity for dialysis as a treatment as well as a transplant. So there's more people who, to put it bluntly, survive long enough to hopefully get their transplant. But we have heart, liver, lung, pancreas transplants going on throughout the year. And I think what I like about this year's campaign is we've done a poster with 32 different transplant recipients on the poster, and it says how many years since each of them received their transplant, and like totaling up to over 400 years of additional life because of the gift of life given by complete strangers in most cases.
Well, that is the case, Colin, in most cases. It's a stranger that has said that they want to be an organ donor, and it is incredible, and there's been some lovely stories. I know you might share with them some of those with us shortly, but just talk to us about the impact the pandemic has had. There's been so many impacts on things like waiting lists and lots of different areas. Has it impacted organ donation as well?
It has very much. Now, I have to say respect to the transplant programs for kidney in Beaumont, liver and pancreas in St. Vincent's, and heart and lung in the Mater, that they have made every effort to continue their services. But for an actual donor to be realised, like, it's got to be done through an intensive care unit. And those, as we all know, during the height of the pandemic were really rather busy. So it very much did impact on the numbers in 2020. We saw quite a fall off in the number of donors. But it kind of brings into real focus that those who did have an opportunity to say yes to organ donation, like, what an amazing thing to do at such a traumatic time. They've just lost a loved one, and then the complications of COVID that come with that, and yet they still had it within them to say yes, and such a beautiful gift to give.
I think that's the best way of putting it. It is a beautiful gift to give at a time that is often traumatic and full of grief and sadness, but the life that can be given. Is it, if for that reason, Colin, is it important that we have this conversation, you know, with our next of kin, with our loved ones, about if we want to be an organ donor? Are we talking about it enough?
I don't think we are talking about it enough, and I think we need to take the opportunity of Donor Week. It's a prompt for the conversation, because it's a much easier conversation, mm-hmm. or a much easier topic to consider when there's no immediate kind of trauma or there's nothing really much going on that's like, yes, it's Organ Donor Awareness Week. Oh, by the way, I'd like to be an organ donor. Or your listeners can request a donor card by free texting the word DONOR to 50050, or they can download our digital organ donor card, and both offer the opportunity for the sharing of that wishes, because that's the purpose of the organ donor card. It's an icebreaker to make that conversation that little bit easier. And then in the event of you being a potential organ donor, the question's just that little bit easier for your family to answer, because you've had the conversation.
Yeah, you've already talked about it. As you've already mentioned, Colin, this year's campaign is built around the theme Life is a Gift. Can you share with us just some of the stories and some of the faces that are featured in your poster and in this campaign?
Well, I think there's some wonderful stories. Like there's an Emma Walsh on the poster. Like, she's on her second kidney transplant now, but also, like, since her transplants, she's got married. She's gone on to have a very healthy son, and is leading a very productive and joy-filled life. And I think that's important for your listeners to know, that organ donation is not about just kind of keeping someone alive at home with a blanket over their legs. It's about giving the gift of life, which is so many special experiences. Like, it might be watching a beautiful sunrise. It could be the birth of your child, walking your daughter down the aisle. Whatever it is, like, each and every day, we all experience these little gifts. And I found from working in this sector that I actually take that time now each and every day to acknowledge those little things, and kind of, yeah, life is pretty special. And I would hope that in the event of my passing, I will be a potential organ donor. And I know that my family will say yes, because we've had the conversation.
Yeah, you've talked about it and you've seen the profound impact, Colin, that it can have. What about someone who is waiting for an organ transplant, just daily life and what that can be like, the waiting game?
The waiting game is it's a very challenging one. We'll all remember as kids counting down to Christmas or counting down to a birthday, and it's kind of 5 days, it's 3 days. It seems forever. But when you're waiting for a transplant, you don't know how long your countdown is. And to put it bluntly, you don't know if you're going to make it. And you're kind of waiting for that call. Like, all transplant recipients will be able to tell you exactly where they were when they got the call to say that there was a chance that their life was going to be transformed. As I said earlier, people who are awaiting a kidney transplant at least have the fallback of dialysis to kind of keep them ticking over.
And often, of course, for kidneys, Colin, their donor is alive.
You can have a living kidney donor, but the majority of kidney donors will be deceased donors. But yes, like a family member or somebody with a close emotional attachment can donate their kidney. But like those who are waiting heart, lung, liver, their opportunities are much more limited. That, like, if a donor doesn't come through in time, they're in real trouble. So it's, I think this Donor Week, what we're asking people to do is make the commitment to organ donation, but also give the gift of hope, because, like, we'll be telling our wider community during the week kind of the increase in requests for organ donor cards. And that will mean a lot to them, because they'll know that an extra 100 people, an extra 1,000 people, an extra 10,000 people are thinking of them and are sort of saying, I'm in your corner. In the event of my untimely death, I'm there for you. And that's huge, because at a time of such uncertainty, to have that hope coming from complete strangers is truly a gift.
It really is. Well, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. That's Colin White talking about Organ Donor Awareness Week. And one of the things that he mentioned that's important to note is that if you want to be an organ donor, and one of the things he talked about is having conversations with your family about it, but carry the organ donor card. You can download it onto your phone. There's an app, there's a digital organ donor card on the smartphone, and you can get all the details as well of everything that Colin talked about there from IKA.ie, which is the Irish Kidney Association. Spirit. It's great when we can focus on good news stories during this lockdown, and our next guest's new company is a good news one, because it was inspired by an act of kindness from a friend, which got her thinking, can I do something similar? And one of the things that's great here in Spirit Radio is we've been really trying our best to support small local Irish businesses during the pandemic, and that's what we're going to be doing just next. On the line to tell us a little bit more about her new company and how it all came about, which is a chocolate brownie food company, music to my ears, we have Susmita Gala, who's the founder of Brown Haven. Susmita, thanks for joining us on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me, Wendy.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about how the idea for this company came about in the first place.
Yeah, so in November last year, it was my birthday, and one of my friends ordered a box of donuts to my house. And it was just this lovely little gesture, getting that surprise delivery that morning. And it set me in a great mood for the rest of that day, especially, you know, like with all of us having these lockdown birthdays. And that was it back then, really. That was the end. I enjoyed the donuts, devoured them. And a couple of months ago, got me thinking back to this birthday surprise that I really enjoyed, and I just thought, I really want to create something similar. And I love brownies as a baked treat, so I teamed up with a friend of mine who is a fantastic baker, and it kind of just rolled off from there. We were building it from that.
I like the probably R&D process when you were thinking of the brownies and probably having to try lots of different batches. What was that process like, Susmita?
Yeah, so me and my friend, she's the, you know, my friend is the better baker, she's more experienced. So we, you know, we were researching, we got some recipes online, we went through them, and we kind of picked a few that we liked, but we had to, you know, obviously bake them and try them out. And we got family and friends to try them out. You know, they didn't really get a choice, but I don't think they complained.
I wouldn't be complaining either. So, you know, in terms of finding the company, it sounds like there's a lot more, I'm sure, Susmita, than just doing the batches and testing the brownies. There's a lot to do in terms of the next steps, so the registering the company, the HSE stuff. Tell us about that side of things.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to do things, you know, the right way. So we put this business under a private limited company, and it really helped us out that my parents had a company set up from years ago, so we kind of put it under there. And also we, you know, got in touch with HSE and told them this is what we want to do, and they've been really helpful and, you know, gave us pointers on what to do and how to get things done and set us up, you know, to be able to get going. And it's because it was just brownies, it made it really simple. I know food safety is it's a big issue. It's very important. And because we're dealing with like baked treats and brownies, it was simpler. But HSE was really helpful. And yeah.
And in terms there was of the all response of that you've gotten, what have people been in touch with you? Have you started selling stuff, Susmita, or how's it been going so far?
Yeah, so we went social media live last weekend, and the response has been phenomenal. I mean, we posted, you know, all the prices and everything just this weekend and accepting orders. We've already gotten orders for Easter weekend, which is next week. And it's just been amazing to, you know, get that response from family and friends and them sharing that love for our business. And a huge part of my own friend circle would be Christian friends. And the support from them has just been overwhelming. And it's just really highlighted to me what being in a Christian community is about. You know, this massive support and love for each other. Yeah.
And just to see that, it sounds like your faith has helped you as well through this time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been looking at some of your flavours, Terry's chocolate orange brownies, red velvet brownies. I'm hungry already. Can't wait for it to be Easter weekend so we can enjoy the chocolate. Do you find as well, Susmita, that people really want to support local business and support Irish businesses, especially startups like yours?
Yeah. I think it's been a big thing since you know, about a year ago when we all went into lockdown, and all these small businesses have been hit, like impacted negatively because of this lockdown. And, you know, there's this whole, you know, trending social media hashtags to support small businesses, and it's the same support for mine as well, you know, where ours, like me and my friend, are starting this thing together, something new, and all of our friends telling their friends and their friends, and they're getting in touch with us, like people we don't even know getting in touch saying they love this and they really want to order and support. And that's just been amazing.
So how can people order your brownies, and what's the easiest way for them to get in touch?
So right now we have Instagram and Facebook, and you can find us with the name Brown Haven, and you can send us a direct message. People can do that. And also we have an email, brownhavenireland@gmail.com. So you can contact us there. And yeah,
great stuff. We're all looking forward to enjoying those brownies, Susmita, and congratulations to you on starting your new business. And you need to get back to the kitchen now with all those Easter orders coming in. That's Susmita Gala, the founder of Brown Haven, and you can check them out, as Susmita said, Brown Haven. It's Brown_Haven. They're on Instagram and they're on Facebook, and you can get your tummies rumbling with the pictures on there.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie. We'll